Ringers.
Hello and welcome to this election leaders special of Question Time. Regional question times are also taking place tonight. You can watch Nicola Sturgeon or Leanne Wood being quizzed via the red button, or Nigel Farage by switching over to Babe Station. So let's begin with a show that features three men taking turns to embarrass themselves in front of a baying mob, the BBC's version of Take Me Out. Let the polling see the booth. So without further ado, please welcome to the weird Q-shaped stage that almost looks like a deliberate trip hazard, Prime Minister David Cameron.
Look, let me just be clear. I was very keen to come out first tonight. It's not just some sort of status thing. It's just that it takes absolutely ages to get home from Leeds. And I've Sky-plussed three episodes of Game of Thrones. I'm Team Lannister.
Right, first question from the audience.
Blah, 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 a leading question about immigration.
Thank you for that question. Now, let me start by showing you this letter that I'm permanently clutching. The one from the Labour government that says, there's no money left.
Mr. Cameron, that's not really related to the question.
Get used to it, sunshine. By the way, did you want me to sit on this chair or stand awkwardly in front of it?
Either or, just make your mind up. You're up and down like Westlife before a key change. Right. Next question.
Good evening, Mr. Cameron. I just wanted to ask, yada, 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 coalition.
I don't want to be scurrying around on May the 8th discussing deals in a dark room with Nick Clegg. Last time I was in a dark room with a politician, Brooks Newmark was developing pictures of his penis. Look, let me just say this. Here's my point, which I've been very clear about. We've been clearing up the mess made by Labour. They gave me this letter. I took my son to A&E. We don't want the SNP holding the balance of power and something about the right to buy scheme.
House!
Thank you. That's a full house of David Cameron. Bingo. Thank you for playing. Let's bring out our next contestant. Please welcome to the stage, and once again, it's absolutely not a deliberate trip hazard, Labour leader Ed Miliband.
Thank you, David Dimbleby. That's a great question. Look, let me just step slightly closer to the audience. Now slightly closer.
That's enough.
A bit more. Oh, this is nice. I'm practically on the laps. Tell you what, I'll have a little sit down. Hello. What's your name?
Shirley.
Hey, Shirley.
Actually, I wanted to ask you about cuts to... Look, you're practically nibbling my earlobe.
Sorry, Shirley, my therapist says I have boundary issues. Look, let me just say this. David Cameron has said lots of things about Labour going into a coalition with the SNP, but I don't want that. I want to be elected as a majority government.
Question from the audience? Let's have a look. The angry person there... No, the other angry person. No, the even angrier person behind him. Yes, you, the furious one.
What if you don't win a majority?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, but what if you don't?
Yeah, but I want to.
No, they're saying, what if you don't?
Yes, and I'm saying, I want to, I want to, I want to, I want to.
I want doesn't get.
Hate you, you're not my real dad.
Mind yourself on that stage. Damn it, I had a fiver on Clegg in the trip hazard sweepstake. Oh, speak of the devil and he shall appear. Here's old tuition fees himself.
Hello, I'm Nick Clegg.
Thank you, Mr. Clegg, but I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there because everyone's gone to make a cup of tea.
Welcome to Location, Location, Location. I'm Kirsty Allsop, a novelty oven glove made flesh. This week I'm in central London with Russian oligarch Ivan, who's looking to buy a property for himself and his three prostitute mistresses.
I just want a home of my own. Somewhere to hang my hat and the decomposing bodies of my business rivals.
has a budget of £15 million, which in central London gets you a two-bedroom flat. And I think I've found the perfect one. Ivan, what do you reckon?
Well, I am a bit put off by the fact that someone else is already living here.
Excuse me, what are you doing in my flat?
Oh dear, the government's Help to Buy scheme has simply pushed up house prices, forcing horrid poor people like Janet here to stay in their rented properties and spend what little money they have left on tracksuits and sausage rolls. I take Ivan into the garden for crisis talks. Ivan, are you worried that if Labour gets in, cities like London could be inundated by ordinary people living in houses?
Of course. It would ruin London's rich culture of wealthy non-doms using homes as piggy banks. Look, all I want is a home of my own, complete with private gym, panic room and underground sex dungeon.
Ivan, it breaks my heart when I see the dreams of dodgy millionaires ruined by working families who don't have the decency to bugger off to Stevenage or somewhere equally. Luckily, I've got one more trick up my sleeve. Ivan, why not try covering any unsightly sitting tenants with a few pine cones and some glitter?
Or I could just kill her.
I do love a happy ending. Next week, I'll be contemplating what happens when Britain runs out of houses for me to flog on television and I'm forced to get a proper job. Goodbye.
Good evening, loyal subjects. During our election period, I'm making this special broadcast to address a national crisis, inequality and a despicable widening gap in wealth. This is because, for the first time ever, one is not in the Sunday Times rich list. Looking at this list, it is clear Britain has become infected by a something-for-nothing culture. J.K. Rowling, she's 100 places above me because she wrote a story about a wizard. You should have heard some of the things Margaret came out with when crystal meth was still legal. But did we ask for the Booker Prize? But we're strivers, not skivers. Philip and I had a money-spinning brainstorm last night. Using my insider knowledge, I've anonymously put a large bet on the name of the royal baby. I got 5,000 to 1 at Paddy Power because no one else knows it's going to be called Demelza Kardashian Moonpig.
I'm Nigel Farage. No, let me speak. This week aboard the UKIP Battle Pub, we are hosting our own version of the Question Time Election Leader Special. Only this time, I'm invited. And the others aren't. Unlike at the mean old BBC, our audience aren't just a hand-picked bunch of liberal tree-hugging commies. No. Our audience are a real salt-of-the-earth bunch. British folk, picked totally at random. Take this gentleman here.
Hello, yes, I'm Douglas Carswell.
No, you're not. Okay, let's move on. Okay, first question from our randomly selected audience. You there, man I've definitely never seen before.
Hello, I'm Mark Recklesingberg.
Mark Recklesingberg?
Yes, that's exactly what I appear to have said.
Okay, nothing at all suspicious there. Your question, Mr. Recklesingberg. Don't hold back, hit me with your best shot.
Thanks. My question is, turbans, what's that all about?
No, that's not your question.
But they're weird, and that's just a fact.
No, it isn't. Mark, just read what's on the card.
Say something nice about Nigel.
Oh, thank you, that's very kind of you to say so. Right, next question. Next question from our impartial audience, man over there that looks like but definitely isn't Mike Reed.
Me come from the brilliant UKIP. Migrants flood here on a one-way trip.
Mike, I mean not Mike.
We ain't no Westminster lackeys, we just want to send home all
Mike! No! Right, has anyone got a sensible question they can just read off their card?
I have.
Ah, great, please. Well, the lady with the tattoo of my face on her face. Great look.
Why do we have to put up with a quiz?
No, that's not what it says on your card!
What's that what you wrote?
I didn't write the cards. They're random. You guys can't ask reasonable questions, then I'll ask them myself. Nigel, what's your question? Well, Nigel, I wanted to ask you, do you feel that UKIP is a one-man party? Great question. Thanks, Nigel. No. That's not true. We're a large organisation of anti-establishment freedom fighters. Whoa, well, you say anti-establishment, but you're a public school-educated ex-banker funded by billionaire city boys. Oh, no, let me speak. If you'll just let me answer the question. Thank you.
I agree with Nigel.
Thank you very much. Now.
No, the other Nigel.
Look, no more questions. Who chose this audience? Bloody nutters.
No,
that's it. Shut the whole thing down. Put that chair down.
you're listening to today, coming up in the next hour. 100 constituencies in 100 days. Sarah Montague travels to Grimsby with a flask of green tea and a hand sanitizer.
But first, Russell Brand interviewed Ed Miliband, Frost Nixon in plasticine form. Good grief, what is the world coming to? Hardly worth me putting me teeth in of a morning to come into the studio.
William Hague joins me now. Now, this Russell Brand interview is a major coup for Ed Miliband. You're obviously jealous.
Oh, no, not at all, Jim. Russell Brand is just one funny man. We can do better than that. As you can see in the Telegraph this morning, we've cobbled together an open letter signed by 5,000 comedians, all urging people to vote Conservative.
Here we go again. Well, let's go through some of these names, shall we, who've signed this so-called open letter. Number 302, Tony Hancock. Number 93, Rigsby from Rising Damp.
Not only a comedian, but also a close personal friend of mine. And he also signed the Small Businessman's Open Letter early in the week, so he's well on his way to a knighthood.
Jimmy Edwards, Will Hay, Sid James, Peter Sellers, Charlie Chaplin. Someone here's just signed himself the Squinty Scotsman from the Laurel and Hardy films.
I'll have to stop you there, Jim. Breaking news. It's been revealed that the new Telegraph list is so obviously made up, some of the comedians on it have come back from the dead just to distance themselves from it.
How dare they? I need more than just a minute to express my outrage. Never put me night to such muck like this. Infamy it is. Infamy. They've all got it in for me.
Romford Snooker Club.
Oh, hi there. Is that Romford Snooker Club?
Yeah.
Oh, hi there. This is Michael Johnson here. I just wanted to say how great it is to have the World Snooker back on.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could maybe come down and I'm looking to try out as a snooker commentator.
Right. It's only a snooker club. There's nothing. We don't have matches here.
Well, yeah, but I've got to try out my skill. I've got to hone my craft. And to do that, the Romford Snooker Club, I think that would be perfect.
Right. The best thing to do is to phone back next week and speak to the owner.
Speak to Leona?
Speak to the owner.
Leona is the owner.
No, there's no one called. No. Call back another time and someone may have time to listen to you, babes, honestly.
At this stage, I just want to thank you for your positivity, and I want to thank Leona, the owner, for being so helpful and reaching out. And I just know that I can deliver on a commentator, man, just check that out. We just saw what Ronaldo O'Sullivan can do with the shot. Left side spin on the cue ball, and bam, he potted down two reds at the same time, then canned off the blue, busted up the pack, and cleared the hell out of the goddamn table to put this frame beyond doubt. Ray Reardon, Bill Werbenick, Silvino Francisco, Doug Mount, Joe Johnson, no relation. Steve Interesting Davis, these are the giants on whose shoulders Ronnie delivered that. Cowabunga!
Brilliant. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Hello, I'm Nick Clegg. Sorry about that. Those of you not interested in the KGB, Bear Grylls' Island, Gogglebox, The Good Wife, Cars That Rock, or the dark charisma of Adolf Hitler might have watched me on the telly last night. I was pretty pleased that the Question Time exit poll said I came third, not last. Third out of three. Now, there was a lot of bad-tempered talk about possible coalitions after the election. So let me just address that. Who would we be prepared to go into a coalition with? Well, our first criteria would be that it would have to be someone with party in their name. Having crossed that hurdle, then would come our list of demands, or red lines, as we call them. As you saw in the last 5 years, we're certainly no pushover. In the last election, we made this pledge, scrap tuition fees for students, and that was our red line. And after a quick chat with Dave, it came out as raise tuition fees for students. So we followed through on 80% of that sentence. Why should you vote Lib Dem on Thursday? Pity? Well, yes, we'd take that. But haven't you seen our terribly clever ads? That's right. We can give the Tories a heart and Labour a brain, which makes us the Wizard of Oz. You remember the Wizard of Oz? He was hidden behind a curtain, pretending to be all-powerful, when actually he was just a small, frightened man way in over his head. And what better way to sum up the Liberal Democrats?
Hello and welcome to Crime Watch, Spring Watch for goths. Tonight we lead with a missing person case. This middle-aged Scotsman is normally very outgoing, but hasn't been seen in public for weeks now. I'm joined by his close friend and colleague, Nicola Sturgeon.
Hello.
Nicola, let's look at Alex Salmond's last known sightings. CCTV footage from the start of his election campaign, very close to an abandoned mineshaft.
I thought it would be a great place for him to go and canvass.
At midnight?
Well, we Scots are not afraid of the dark, and I thought it was important to reach out to voters who were down abandoned mineshafts.
OK, so here, two men suddenly pull up in a van and grab him, and one of the men appears to be wearing a peach skirt suit and very high heels.
Aye, shocking.
Now, to help the viewers identify the missing man, here's some footage of him in a public appearance.
I'm going to have Ed Miliband round my chubby wee finger. I'm king of the world!
And there's also footage here of him crassly unfurling a Scottish flag behind Andy Murray at Wimbledon, but it's too disturbing to show. We do, however, have a sound recording of a voice that may be Salmond speaking from wherever he's being held.
Hello? Is anybody there? If anyone from the SNP can hear me, I'm sure the election campaign's going really badly for us without me at the helm, but don't give up hope!
This must be very hard for you, Nicola.
Yes, it is. It's such a shame he couldn't take part in the debates, knowing how much the people of Britain love him and his personality.
Thanks, Nicola. More now on last week's missing person case involving a tousle-haired blonde old Etonian on a bike. And it's bad news, I'm afraid. He's turned up. Hello, I'm Francine Stock, and this is the film programme, Front Row's slightly skanky cousin. Joining me tonight is movie star and arthouse darling Harvey Keitel.
Hello.
Now, you've had a tremendous career. What would you consider to be your biggest achievement?
Well, Francine, that would have to be my car insurance adverts.
Say again?
It was always a dream of mine to be in an advert on British TV. When I was at drama school, one day, they showed us this kid with a bike trying to get bread to the top of a hill. And it blew my mind, Francine. So I decided to work my way up through a series of Hollywood blockbusters until the dream of selling insurance came true.
Okay. So what was the breakthrough for you?
Oh, well, I struggled for a long time. Every year I'd come over here and audition. I was second choice to be the kid that says, Accrington Stanley, who are they?
What's coming up for you?
Well, I'm reading a lot of exciting scripts at the moment. Little. There's a company that promises to buy any car. Any car. Incredible. It's a very exciting time.
So can you reveal anything about your next project?
Well, Francine, me and Quentin T are working together again. Here's a little clip for my next commercial.
Hello to you. I am Alexander Meerkat, and I...
Shut up.
And next week on the film programme, a feature on classics of the French New Wave. And we talk to Christopher Walken on his new collaboration with Tenor Lady.
You're listening to Today with, with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Jim Naughty. Coming up on the show, Ed Miliband has said something. Nicola Sturgeon has said something. And Nick Clegg has said something else. Don't worry, it'll all be over soon.
But first, the Prime Minister has said something. He joins me now.
Yeah, you bet I have, Johnny. I'm so pumped up and passionate right now. Hang on a sec. Sorry. I'm so passionate and pumped up. Come on, yeah, bring it on, man. Boom, boom, yeah. Go large or go home.
Prime Minister, are you okay?
Yeah, you bet I am. Woo, yeah, I'm going to take my turn. Be the champion of the world, as I said before, and many times I've made this very clear. Oh, blast. I saw I've run out of those balloons Linton Crosby gave me to inhale. You don't have to pep you up and get you going.
Is that why you've been sounding so manic this week? Linton's had you on hippie crack.
No, not at all. No, look, everyone knows what a passionate chap I am. Oh, wait, found another one. Oh. Pumped up, I'm so pumped up, I'm so pumped up right now.
Is that why you've been making ludicrous promises like banning any personal tax increases for 5 years?
Yeah, yeah. Screw you, Humphreys, you wrinkly Welsh hobbit. Yeah. Look, I'm banning everything. No taxes, no fines, nothing. Imagine there's no heaven above us in the sky. You must say I'm a crackhead, but I'm not the only one, and I hope you join me and I'll win a working Conservative majority.
And now on BBC Two, it's W1A, or in other words, The Office, without the pauses.
It's 2 hours later than it was 2 hours ago. And Ian has called another meeting in the Frankie Howard room.
Right, so, I've called this meeting in order to get a lot of characters in one room to speak very quickly one after the other.
Right. Good.
Great.
Excellent.
Very good.
Cool.
Excellent. Very good.
That's very much what I thought you'd all say.
Beg pardon, my lord.
Carson, what on earth are you doing here?
It has come to my attention that you're playing essentially the same character as you do in Downton and Paddington. Only in a different suit, sir.
What do you mean, same character?
It's the stiff-lipped blusteriness, sir.
Blusteriness?
Sort of how I imagine it would be to meet Hugh Grant's dad.
I see.
He's right, Father.
Mary? What are you doing at the BBC?
I'm trying out for the new job on Top Gear.
What?
As am I.
Isabel?
Why not? I'm going to make casual racism sound lovely.
And I thought I might be in with a shout as well.
Not you too.
Well, I've got more than my fair share of the old-fashioned va-va-voom. I can mock a Mexican with the best of them, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that I'm supposed to find a different character for each part I play? How on earth am I supposed to do that?
Perhaps you could try a different accent, Papa.
I see. You mean, e by gum, hecky thumpers them as like, call blimey governor, whoppin' blood, come lick up me back foot and ting.
On second thought, sir, you stay just as you are. We'll change the characters to suit you.
Yes! Well, it works for Jimmy Nesbitt. Bootish.
Yes, yes, thank you, thank you. As manager of the England team, I'd like to congratulate Harry Kane on winning the Premier League Young Player of the Year award. And I'd just like to throw in a word of caution. Often in this country, we have a nasty habit of putting too much pressure on young English players and building up their potential to a level they can frankly never reach. Like when I told the global press that Wayne Rooney would one day be able to use the big boy toilet. However, I will say this. Harry has the ability to achieve anything he wants in the game. He could be the best player of all time, and not just in football, golf, cricket, pool sticks, you name it, he'll win it. He could present Springwatch or replace Ban Ki-moon at the UN. He could be an astronaut or a bird or a space warrior. He could write a series of best-selling erotica novels. His firstborn could be our true Lord and Saviour. Lord, come down unto us, for we have seen the light, and that light is Harry Kane. But I'm going to put him on the bench for the Lithuania game. I don't want to...
And now on BBC One, lock up your mothers. It's time for Poldark.
These are the titles, big sweeping coastlines, lots of horizons. Oh, look, a horse. Look at that man's hat. He looks important. Gosh, he looks pensive, full of remorse. Back in the olden days, the 1780s, are there inaccuracies? Oh, yes, of course. Someone's got a watch on at the back. Fade to black.
Oh, hello, Ross Poldark. You look like you need a drink.
I'll have something strong like a whiskey.
I've had a hard day's topless scything and looking pensively into the middle distance.
You must have a lot to think about. What with the mine, the war, and getting your stubble so perfectly trimmed despite the primitive grooming products available in this time period. Another drink?
No, thanks. I'd best be off. I've got to ride a horse to my ex-girlfriend's house.
Ex-girlfriend? That's not a very 18th century expression.
That's what happens when you get a 21-year-old script editor.
Lol.
I'll probably ride there along the idyllic Cornish coastline, seeing as we're seemingly sponsored by the tourist board. See you in a bit. Here, hold my shirt.
Elizabeth, it's me, Ross.
Ross?
Yes, your former fiancé, Ross Poldark, back from the war.
Yes, I know who you are. It's just Ross. What kind of a name is that for an 18th century heartthrob?
Never mind all that. I'm back. Let's get married.
Ross, I'm so sorry. I thought you were dead. I married your ratty little cousin.
Hello?
Oh, dear. However will I cope? I'll just have to, I don't know, marry another impossibly attractive woman. You there, come here and marry me.
Righto.
Now they are snogging, glimpse of a nipple, but that's all you're getting at 9:21. Now he is scything, technique is dreadful, or will you stop moaning, we're just having fun. The series is over, but will it be back? 10 million viewers on BBC One. We're already writing series 23.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Lewis McLeod, Duncan Wisby and Deborah Stevenson. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Lawrence Howarth, James Bug, Sarah Campbell, John Culshaw, Max Davis, Duncan Wisby. The producer and creator was Bill Dare. It was a BBC Radio comedy production.